Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
What a lovely song with one of my faves coming out there. It's got to be Sinach. Oh man, absolutely love to hear it. It's been a while, I think, on my side, not really hearing much of Sinach music. But am I complaining? Probably am. But a very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. Happy, happy Monday. It's the 21st of July, 2025. And a warm welcome to you if you have just joined us. Happy Monday, happy Monday. And I must say, it's been a while. It's been a while. But we're absolutely excited this afternoon also to be having Dr. Manda on the line. Dr. Manda, good afternoon and welcome. Welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon, Luco. It's been a while. I am incredibly happy to be with you today.
Too busy, I must say, but hey, we're glad you're back.
Yeah, same here. But hey, I guess we've got a relatively newish rhythm now. Hopefully, we can get back to a much more frequent engagement.
Basis. Welcome back. Now, if you don't know Dr. Manda Chifolaro is the founding director of Superlead Advisory, and he specializes in strategy and operations and leadership development. He's a strategist, leadership coach, and an author of Lead with Super Clarity, a globally recognized facilitator, and he has moderated high-profile events. So welcome back, Dr. Manda. I think let's start here, Dr. Manda. You know, you've often said that clarity isn't a luxury in leadership, but that it's a necessity. And in times of change and complexity, that message feels especially relevant. You even developed a framework to help leaders move from confusion to clarity. Can you walk us through that framework and tell us how it ties into today's theme?
Absolutely. I think 2 odd years ago, I wrote a book called Lead with Super Clarity. And, you know, the first sentence in the book is, you know, clarity is a superpower. And over the year, the months, I've become more and more convinced that this clarity is a non-negotiable in leadership, especially now in the season of uncertainty, global disruptions, organizational shifts, and just the pace of change. It's incredibly more important now that leaders lead with that sense of clarity. And in the book, so I kind of outline a framework. I call this a super clarity framework, starting off with being clear on the purpose, on what we stand for, where, who we serve, and what we are building towards. Essentially, being super clear on the strategy, and there's a whole range of sort of ways and tools there to help people be clear on where they are moving forward. Now, it's one thing to be clear on where you intend to go. The second piece, which is really important, is being super clear on how you communicate. And there's a lot there to be unpacked. Today, we're going to touch on just one element of effective communication as a leader. And to a very large extent, Luco, the job of leadership, a large part of leading is communicating, is talking, or it's writing, or however we communicate. Just a huge portion of that is how we are communicating to those that we lead, and vice versa. The third and the fourth elements are about taking aligned actions and having the reinforcing mechanisms that ensures that we are all pulling in that one direction. And now for today's conversation, as you've asked, we want to just move in that space of communicating, which to a large extent, it's what we have to do. It's what we do every day. And if we don't communicate with clarity, a lot of bad things happen. Politics happen. People pull in different directions. Confusion happen oftentimes. And sometimes we just find organizations and leaders stuck. Trust gets eroded. There's just so much that happens at the back of not communicating clearly. And for the one piece we want to talk about is this idea of radical candor. And I remember how you reminded me that I do like to repeat myself. I had myself there repeat again. So this idea is, can you say what you mean without being mean? You know, I often find, even with myself, I think today's episode is largely directed to me. Mm-hmm. I often find that there is things we want to say, and we just don't quite get around to say them. And therefore, we kind of say a whole range of other things, and that leads to unclear communication.
Interesting, I must say, Dr. Manda. And I'm really, really excited for this conversation. I must say, there's a lot of growth on my side. I don't know about anybody else. Now, you ended on something quite striking, Dr. Manda, that one of the biggest blockers to clarity is how we handle difficult truths. And that's exactly where we're headed next. The phrase radical candor can sound a bit sharp at first, almost like it's about being brutally honest. But I've heard it's actually much more, nuanced than that. Whew, big words. Can you unpack it for us? And what is radical candor really about? And where did it come from? Why is it such an important conversation for leaders today?
Absolutely. The term radical candor can be, you know, it does sound like, I say it as it is type of, it feels like, I don't care. You know, I'm just going to give it to you as it is. But actually, it's the opposite. The concept is rooted in both care and connection with the people you're communicating with. Radical candor was introduced by Kim Scott, who is an executive who has held leadership roles at companies such as Google, Apple, etc. And she coined this term and actually has published a book titled, you guessed it, Radical Candor. I think it was first published in 2017 and has sort of become a tool that's widely adopted to build strong leadership culture. In the idea, it's very simple. And when it's one of those books you read and you go, I agree. I just didn't have the language for it. But the idea is rooted in this that she wants to help me be able to say what I mean. And it's got two elements. It's learning to communicate with personal care while challenging directly. Mm-hmm. So there is caring and there is challenge. And she kind of puts it in a 2x2 matrix. And some of us consultants, we absolutely love 2x2 matrix. We sort of believe the world can be explained, almost everything, by 2x2 matrix. But that's besides the point. So Scott argues that great leadership isn't just about being nice, where you're caring. Also, it's not just about being tough, where you're like, I'm going to say it as it is and I'm going to challenge the people. But it's about doing both. And that's where the trick is at. It's about saying, I care about you as a person, and I'm not going to shy away from telling the truth as it is. So it helps you grow. So she maps out on this 2x2, 4 quadrant. When we challenge directly, but don't care personally, you know, that kind of approach is obnoxious aggression. So in that corner where someone is challenges people directly, this is what must happen, etc. However they are being challenged, without care, obnoxious aggression. On the other hand, there are people on the other extreme end, the people who care deeply for the people they lead, but they don't quite challenge them. And maybe sometimes tell the truth as it is for some of the things that are not going well. And cause that ruinous empathy. And I'm somewhere on the latter. and this is very common, especially for people, leaders, well-meaning. You can imagine leaders who are leading in a in a non-profit space, you know, sometimes you're leading at a church and environments where, you know, being nice it's an expectation. So on the other, the third area here is where you neither care nor do you challenge. Then it's, you know, manipulative insincerity. On the top end of this quadrant is where you as a leader, as you communicate with care and you challenge and you share things as they are directly. And she calls that radical candor.
All right. New big words, I must say. Definitely. And, you know, it's such a helpful framework, I must say, especially the way you explain the balance between caring personally and challenging directly. But I imagine many leaders think that they're being candid, when in reality they might be slipping into some of those other categories that you mentioned. So what are some of the common misconceptions, Dr. Manda, or mistakes, might I say, that leaders make when they try to practice radical candor?
Yeah, this is such a great question, because the challenge isn't just understanding this radical candor in theory and in a 2x2 matrix. It's in how we apply this consistently in our relationships with our colleagues and how we lead. And also maybe just one step back, when you intend to go a certain direction, there are inherent dilemmas. For instance, if we say we are now going to go digital and a lot of the work will be digitized, there is inherent dilemma around, and then what happens to those people that are supposed to do certain things. And in some instances, when we want to move from here is how we do things today and we're going to be there tomorrow, we do need to be able to challenge and say what it is that's not working here today. Yeah. Now, you could either just come in and just tell it as it is to say the system is broken here, the culture is bad, and the food at the canteen is horrible, etc., etc. You know, that's not radical candor. That's just, you know, challenging people without caring about them, and that's that obnoxious, you know, aggression. So that's not, that's a misconception that sometimes radical candor just means you must say it as it is. When you do that, you lose the people, and then people get into the defensive, and, you know, sometimes they just shut down, because you think you are being radically honest with them and you're telling them as it is. So that's not what it is. On the other hand, leaders can care so much about being liked, and, you know, case in point here, myself, you know, just naturally a people pleaser, want everyone to be happy. And so people can care about being liked and not upsetting anyone, and that they avoid difficult conversations and the dilemmas to say, hey, we are closing down this plant. This is what it means. And not kind of avoid those moments and sugarcoat them, etc., etc., but be able to say it honestly, while maintaining that care. And I just wonder if we pause here, Luko, and just find out where mostly are you at here? Are you more on the you really care a lot about the people, or you really care a lot about the truth? And where do you largely swing?
I care more about the truth, actually.
Okay, and then you can easily say it as it is.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it becomes difficult to actually say it, because the caring for the people overlaps at some point. But I always say, as much as it's just as dangerous, sometimes I prefer not to correct or say the truth, because then I'm like, hey, I'm not lying, right? But I keep the relationship and I'll revisit the conversation later.
And you know what happens? Okay, maybe you, in your case, you also do revisit. In some of our cases, you know, I don't kind of get to revisit the conversation, because, you know, especially, so I'm on the other side, right? Where, you know, I want to be liked, I want to avoid difficult feedback. The avoidance of the situation feels good and kind in the moment, right? But over time, mm-hmm. Quietly, it starts to lower down what you were trying to achieve. It stalls the team and people don't improve because you're probably not giving them the right kind of feedback, because it feels good in the moment not to say the truth or give that feedback that the person requires. And I wonder if you easily go back and kind of go, wait a minute, there's an issue here that was not resolved.
Yeah. No, I hear you entirely. But it's a difficult one, Dr. Manda. That's what I'm saying. You're all about the truth, but at some point you're like, but I also treasure the relationship and I don't know which one should take precedence at this point in time.
And on another book called Crucial Conversations, the author sort of says, that's the misconception sometimes, which says that if I tell the truth, I will ruin the relationship. And I think the challenge for both you and I today is, how could I take a stance that say I will tell the truth and still keep the relationship, which is the truth with so much of care that the relationship will stay intact. Because the more and more the truth is not being shared, the relationship is being hurt in any way.
Exactly.
Because if what you don't say, you end up acting it out, and that creates hurt and mistrust and all elements that comes with that.
Never gave thought of to that, actually. But you've got a point, I must say. Now, Dr. Manda, earlier you spoke about the tension between caring personally and challenging directly, and how easy it is to fall into avoidance or aggression if we don't balance the two. But what about, in high-stakes moments, when there's pressure to deliver, competing egos, or fear of being misunderstood? How does a leader then practice radical candor without actually escalating tension or going silent altogether?
Yeah, and this is where the rubber hits the road, right? This is where this is tested. So pressure, and to a large extent, whether it's about radical candor or any other conversations that we will have in the months to come, is pressure doesn't just test for performance. It tests the culture. It tests what's there underneath the pleasantries and on the surface. It tests truly how we think of each other, whether we care about each other or not. So when things get intense, tight deadlines, big personalities, high visibility, many leaders tend to sort of default to their clamping down, sometimes pulling back. So if you're on the other side, you might want to clamp down on this is what's happening, forget about feelings. Or if you're on the other side, you might end up pulling back. But radical candor kind of actually becomes more necessary in these moments, and not less. So Kim reminds us that radical candor being about caring personally and challenging directly, even when it's uncomfortable. And it's very easy to throw one or the other when the times are tough, for the fear of being misunderstood. For the fear of being misunderstood, sometimes we soften the message. And because things are like urgent and we must go, sometimes we skip the empathy part. And I think this conversation today is to sort of remind us, if you reflect on maybe last week, the conversations you've had, when the stakes were a little bit high, did you still have the empathy? Did you soften the message to kind of just keep things cool? Or were you communicating with radical candor? Because if we are not, we lose clarity. And when we lose clarity, there is a lot of confusion and politics and a lot of wasted time that if people were clear, would have moved forward in the direction that's intended.
Wow. Dr. Manda, let's kind of shuffle the cards a little bit here. We've spoken a lot about leaders practicing radical candor, but what about receiving it? Because, see, many team members hesitate to challenge their manager or offer upward feedback, and I think we've spoken about this before. So how can leaders then create an environment where candor flows in all directions, and not just from the top down, but also from up, but also up and across?
Lovely. I love the pivot. So yes, let's do this. So radical candor in its concept isn't just meant to be a one-way street. If leaders only kind of share or give feedback or give direction, and they never receive the input from the team or the feedback themselves on what they're doing or what's working and what's not working, you know, that's half the story. And what we know about implementing strategies that work is that when strategy is just sort of dictated and thrown across to say, go and do that, without the opportunity of engagement or challenging or dialogue or debate or input by those that meant to implement it, it tends to... there's a higher risk of that strategy failing to be implemented as it's intended. And similarly, when leaders are the only ones that sort of gives one-way feedback, the culture of autocratic leadership sometimes starts to sort of take root, and the leaders don't grow. The team can see the holes in the plans, and they don't get to share. And in the end, it's the customers, it's the people we're meant to serve that end up suffering. Because truly, truly to serve people and to serve, you know, for instance, at the church and to serve in an organization, our end customer, one person can't have all the answers. And a leader that sort of starts by opening up to receive criticism, receive feedback, it just makes the whole environment better for everyone. So the message is this, to have a radical, candor environment starts with the leader, starts by modeling that vulnerability, admitting when you have missed the mark, showing people that speaking the truth is not only safe in this team, but it is expected. And whenever, you know, people are not kind of coming across telling the truth as it is, or maybe they're not showing some of the empathy, you know, our job, I guess, as leaders here, is to invite them time and again for that feedback, for that candor coming from their end.
I'm gonna keep saying this, Dr. Manda. You are speaking big English today. You were gone for weeks and decided that it was best for you to come back with some bombastic words there. Candor. I don't know why. I've never heard it. But yeah, today I learned something within the time. But quickly, Dr. Manda, I really appreciated what you said about leaders going first and inviting upward feedback and then responding with humility. That image of being at crossroads, you know, when someone speaks up, really stayed with me. But it also made me think, what about the spaces in between, and not just feedback flowing up to the leader, but across the team itself? What can leaders do to help their teams practice radical candor with each other, and not just as individuals, but as a shared way of working?
I think I must go away some more, and I'll fetch even bigger, big words, Luko. Love the shift. So the real strength of radical candor shows up when it becomes cultural and not just between two individuals. When peers start giving one another honest feedback and kind of saying what they mean. I don't know how many times, either at work or at home or with friends, you found yourself saying, I actually want to tell this person this, but you end up saying something else. Is it just me, or it happens to you too?
It does happen to me too, Dr. Manda.
And it sounds like it does, like, you know, every now and again, but like hardly ever. Just imagine a culture where people know what they want to say to each other and they actually say that. So it's more, it's better when it's cultural. So one of the things that's key is introducing a shared language. So whenever there's sort of something new one wants to introduce, it's sometimes better to create shared language within your team, where you can go to the team and say, hey, I was listening to radio on Monday, and then there was this conversation on radical candor. I went and read the book, or I read up more about this thing. This is what it is. These are the quadrants. These are the misconceptions. And the whole team environment starts to appreciate the new language. And you, to a point where sometimes it helps, for instance, when you're about to give someone feedback, you go, hey, I'm not trying to be an obnoxiously aggressive here, but I need to challenge this idea. You see, so it kind of sort of say, we are learning now and we are kind of adopting this new language. And then it feels like, you know, we are bumbling all together, but over time, this then becomes embedded and it becomes just the way in which people communicate. Imagine what life could be like if in marriages, if in parenting, we are able to fully express what we mean without being mean to the kids, without being mean to the partner, and vice versa, and being able to express what we mean without feeling like we're going to lose the relationship, or without shying away from certain truths because, you know, they feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because the longer those things stay buried, the more dangerous they become, the more assumptions are made, the more trust is eroded. And so for both of us here, me being the first patient, I think this idea of radical candor is one that's worth practicing, not just at work, but just becoming a lifestyle, and be the people that say what we mean. And I think there's just this powerful scripture that says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Imagine what life could be like if everyone was radically candid with the other, balancing care and challenging directly.
Dr. Manda, important details as we are about to close, but I think let's just grab a glass of water and I'll be with you in a sec then.
Yes.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Join us for heart-to-heart discussions every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m. as we look at daily challenges, relevant issues and health matters with inspiration and great music to make you smile. Become enlightened. Listen live on Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, or catch the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za. Come live the life at 657 AM.
Now, Dr. Manda, still having a chat with Dr. Manda this afternoon. I know if you haven't heard him in a long time, guess what? He's back and he's here to stay. Now, back to you, Dr. Manda. As we bring this conversation to a close this afternoon, I want us to come back to where we started on clarity. That is, for leaders listening today, what would you encourage them to reflect on in terms of their own communication? How can they assess whether they are truly being clear or if they might be slipping into one of those radical candor quadrants that actually gets in the way?
So where we started off is to say the biggest job of leading is communicating. And it's very seldom, I think, sometimes that people, you know, will just study the art of communication. And when I reflect, even in the business courses and leadership programs, there's hardly, you don't get a lot of time kind of dedicated to empowering leaders to communicate with super clarity. And it's only when we go to work, we are sharing that, hey, this is the direction we want to go, only to find out that, like, what happened there? I thought they understood and they bought in and these people are with me. In the leadership, in the relationships with the people we work with, over time we realize trust is broken. There is chaos. There is misunderstanding. People are going different ways. Largely because the communication may not be clear. And for our listeners today is to perhaps reflect on how clear would you say your communication is? And mm-hmm. if there was one invitation I will offer is to kind of pause and reflect how you're currently communicating. Are you communicating with radical candor? Are you super clear, or are you sort of hoping people get it? Do you kind of get the sense that that one email was enough to and was clear enough, or that one big presentation was clear enough to charge in a different path or to charge forward? You know, there's something about kind of just, you know, throwing information across the line, and then somehow we hope that it lands. So are there moments where, without realizing it, we might be slipping into ruinous empathy, avoiding the hard truth to spare ourselves from the discomfort? Or maybe are we veering off to the obnoxious aggression, offering truth without care? And it will be, encouraged to sort of reflect, hey, how well am I still caring about the people? You know, has the tough times maybe gotten in the way, and now I no longer see a person, I just see, you know, someone that delivers a task? And maybe kind of just work, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts again, to soften them, to continue to care about the individuals that God has entrusted us to lead, and kind of bring ourselves, maybe if we veered off to obnoxious aggression. And then on the other end, for those that are in the people pleasing business, you know, kind of just allow God to nudge us back to the truth, because we are called to do the work, and that requires both the truth and the care for the people. So my challenge with care is, as we embark in this new week, could we do our utmost best to communicate with clarity, with candor, with care? And let's watch what God does at the back of that.
Wow. Dr. Manda, you know, you wouldn't be doing justice to this conversation if you did not lead us right where we could find all this information, actually, and grow our teams, because I think ultimately that's the purpose. We need to grow our teams in every possible aspect. How do we reach out to you?
Excellent. So to reach out to us, we do leadership consulting, strategy consulting, kind of help organizations cascade their strategy, and so that even the people on the day-to-day, they love the strategy and they can implement it. We offer coaching. We help companies, you know, work through their culture, and also coaching to develop leaders. And people can reach us on my email, mandat@superlead.co.za, and or on WhatsApp at 0780200051. Because we are passionate about this, because when leaders communicate with that courage, with that clarity, with that radical candor, they create teams that grow, alignment deepens, and people and organizations truly, truly thrive. And if there's one thing that just stirs me is just having these environments that are political and toxic, even for organizations that purport to be doing good, but internally there is rot and toxicity and politics, all of that stuff. It just destroys souls and people. And if there is a way we can slowly but surely kind of, you know, resolve some of those things. And one of the ways to do this is for leaders to just learn to say what they mean without being mean, and for leaders to communicate with radical candor.
Something to take home with us today. Say what you mean without being mean. Thank you so much, Dr. Minda. Until a couple of weeks from now, thank you for sparing so much time with us and sharing this knowledge with us. Truly appreciate it.
Excellent. We'll chat to you soon.
Ciao, ciao. That's Dr. Minda Chifularu.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. A companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.